First Peter 5. And let's stand, let's read a little bit, if you don't mind. First Peter 5. Hey, what's y'all last name? Johnson. You know, if you attend three Sundays in a row, you're a member. We just, if you hit three, no, just kidding, sir. First Peter, we appreciate y'all though, for real, seriously. Amen. Good people. You ever talk to them? Good people. Love God. And follow and can finish scriptures that let me know he a man of the word. And so I can definitely appreciate that. And appreciate y'all coming out week after week. Anybody else I didn't meet, my sister, she joined last week, amen. Brother Jean T, did I say it right? Yeah, I've been practicing. Jean T. We appreciate all them joining on last week. And I enjoyed Faith Week. How about y'all? I really enjoyed the Faith Week. First Peter 5. And we'll start about 8. Probably go down to 14. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accompanied in your brothers in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's stop right there. That's a good place to stop. Father, I thank you right now. I give you all the praise, glory, and honor for what you're going to do in this service on tonight. We yield unto you, Holy Spirit. Have your perfect way. Have your perfect work in this place. Think through my mind. Speak through my mouth that your people be edified. You be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Ask for utterance and the anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell somebody, say, this is going to be good today. Amen. You can have your seat. Tell them, say, don't sleep. It's your sleepy self. Sleepy. I want to talk to you a little bit today about don't be denied your open door season. Don't be denied that. Say, don't be denied. Tell somebody, say, don't be denied your open door season. A lot of time people miss when God is opening doors for them. And they don't know how to discern, in many cases, even interpret what God has opened a door. When God opens doors, the analogy comes really from the same that of Malachi 3. He presents opportunities to you. Uh-huh. He presents opportunities to you that some you may be looking for, maybe you not. But God will make it so clear to you that this is his will, and he's looking for people to respond. And we respond by walking through the door. Everybody say that, walking through the door. Now, you have to do these things. When God opened the door, Sister Rosalyn, you have to do it by faith, not by perfect circumstances. And this is why people miss opportunities, because they look for everything to be perfect. They look for everything to be confirmed. Every T crossed, every I dotted, and by the time they figure it out, the door done closed. Right? So don't miss your open door season. Tell somebody that. Say, don't miss your open door season. Because really, some of us, when you look at it, Paul is talking to them, and he says that the devil is walking around trying to devour somebody. Now, he can't devour everybody. Obedient people are never devoured. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's no way the devil can stop a person that's being obedient to God. And they know they're being obedient to God. When I am walking in total obedience to God, my faith is up here. Because just by default, I know how God works. I know if he's telling me to do something and obedience is tied to it, faith is automatically tied to it. And so when the obedient people are never shut out of opportunities. Amen to this. And so when you think about it, he said the devil is looking to devour somebody, swallow somebody, drown somebody. He's looking to gobble somebody up. But he says, Paul says, Peter says, resist him. Say that three times. And then he says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. Meaning, when you know that God has opened an opportunity for you, you don't let the devil push you around. I seen a video clip that Deacon heard many years ago of the great Bruce Lee. Anybody ever heard of Bruce Lee? And that was this monk that was supposed to be very, very strong. And, you know, they get in these stances and they had all these people from the audience and very people coming to push him. They couldn't push him. They couldn't push this monk around. He had, somehow he was settled almost as if his body had formed into some form of concrete that was to the floor. Nobody could push him. And then they brought out the great Bruce Lee and he pushed him. He pushed him. He didn't move. And then he popped him. And then he moved. See? But you have to anticipate if you're standing firm, the devil will try to pop you. And that's when it turned into a fight. They had to go to a commercial break. That's when it turned into a fight. Because this is a true story. You can probably Google it and find it. But that's when it turned into a real fight, because you have to know when you're coming up against the adversary, sometimes you're going to have to fight to stay in place. Or to replace him. Tell somebody to say, fight for it.
Fight for it.
So he says, because that you know that he is coming and that there are going to be all type of sufferings. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're suffering a little bit. He says, but the God of all grace. Then this is where we're going to try to, if I get to it, enough time I'll get to it, but try to tie this into it. There's some things you're never going to really be successful in this life without the grace of God. Sometimes we think we are more than enough, but sometimes you just enough. Sometimes you just got enough, but you serve the God who's more than enough. And this is why when you just enough, you turn to the God who's the God who is more than enough, and you depend on all the graces of God. Now watch this. This ain't my notes, but a lot of times we can fall in love with the first grace that God introduced us to. And we think that works across every spectrum. It doesn't work across every spectrum. Grace works, but there are manifold, many types of grace. There's a grace for, you know, there's a grace for prosperity. There's a grace for healing. There's a grace for salvation. There's a grace for deliverance. There's a grace for, some of you got entrepreneurship in your heart. Ain't went nowhere because you just enough. You need to tap into the God that's more than enough. And if you talk, and you don't throw it away, because once I figure out I've been doing this in my own strength, then I turn to the God who's more than enough and shout, God can make it happen. I'm trying to tell somebody today, God can still make it happen. He is the God of all graces. I mean, whatever you can think of, there's a grace to it, and you have to apply this. Now, watch this. He says, after you have suffered a while, meaning that this is not permanent, he himself will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And then he goes on to talk about Silas in 12, 13, 14. But some of you dealing with things because of the anointing on your life. You've been going through things. A lot of things because of what God called you to. And you're not stood strong enough in the faith. Amen. And so when you know that you are called to greatness in God, anybody believe you called to greatness? Don't minimize yourself because you're comparing yourself to everybody else. But everybody that God allowed to live is called to some form of greatness. If you didn't have what the heaven calls greatness in you, you never survives childbirth. You never make it to the egg. Your daddy never meet your mama and never attracted enough to even touch her. You follow what I'm saying? But you have been designed by heaven to be here. Say, I'm supposed to be here. And because of it, there's a grace and there's an anointing on your life for something. I don't care if people done beat you down or not. That's not the point. Now you know Jesus. You know the God of all graces. And you can tap into what God is. No matter what your age, you can tap into it. No matter your record, no matter your history, God will take your history and make it his story. But God don't care nothing about that when he has something on your life. If you follow his plan. Now, this is what happened to people. They don't follow the plan. They have their own plan. Do you know that you can have a vision and heaven got a vision? And the way you know that your vision is lining up with God's vision, you take your vision and you lay it on top of God's vision, and it should be synonymous. It should be the same thing. And everything that's outside of his lines, he will not birth. But if it falls in the lines, I don't care how impossible it is. He is the God of the impossibility. Say, God will make it happen. Everybody can disbelieve, not believe, talk about you, laugh at it. Say, God will still make it happen. So you find right now, right, there are many churches, but people don't like being in the crosshairs. They don't like the attacks of the devil. So they'll minimize sometimes themselves. Because they're trying to stay low. They're trying to stay out of his sight. But it ain't about you solely. You just more than enough. If you stand up, God will stand up. The God of more than enough will stand up behind you. And guess what? The devil don't touch you. He don't charge after you when God is standing behind you. Or in many cases, he'll go before you. So the devil don't even see you. And you, because sometimes you think a person is looking at you and they ain't even thinking about you. Sometimes the devil is looking at your direction, but he is really focused on something beyond you. He's focused on the God that's standing in front of you. He's focused on the God that can get it all done. And he not coming no further. Tell somebody, says, stay behind God. Boy, this is good to me already. Shout, stay behind God. And he'll back up off of you. But people don't like being in the crosshairs. They don't like being, when I say the crosshairs, this is one of the first revelations that I didn't earn it. Bishop gave it to me. In the early stages of ministry, people and things come up against you. Hey, and let me tell you something. If ain't no people in the seat, everybody that's in the seat, you should be encouraging your pastor every day because he one sermon away from quitting. They'll go home and they'll be second guessing what they said because there ain't no people coming. So if you know that they own to something, tell your neighbor, say, don't encourage yourself. Say, encourage the preacher too. Because he one sermon away from not showing back up the next Sunday. But one of the revelations that he gave me, that Sister Baker, was this. If you do not want to be greatly used by God, stay out the devil's crosshairs. If you accept that from God, if you say you have heard from heaven, you know what I'm talking about. You are in the bull's eye. You are in the crosshairs of the devil, and he locked in on you. If you got it on you, but you don't know it, he ain't concerned about you. He'll wait till you figure it out. But if you figured it out, if you know who you are, where you are going, you are going to come up under the attacks. And he zooms in. He locks in to not miss. Now, what do? You conceal yourself behind the Father. Say that. You conceal yourself behind. Say it again. You conceal yourself behind the Father because no weapon formed against you don't work because no weapon formed against him will work. If you step out, then you've exposed yourself. He can't hit you, send a mask, but he'll try to wound you. He'll try to disable you. He'll try to make you let it go. He'll try to make you doubt because doubt is a spiritual weapon. Doubt is a thing that make a person not only second guess the self, they'll second guess the source who said that it's going to happen. Tell somebody, if you'll stay behind God, it'll happen for you. But they don't like being in the crosshairs. Many churches are in the crosshairs of the devil right now. because people are leaving. Am I doing something wrong? No, you ran the devils off. Now, build the people that you got and keep going forward. No, you ain't did anything wrong. The people don't give financially. No, because you've been taught not to tell them they can come up economically. They want to give. They broke. But you won't tell them how to do it because you don't want to sound like a prosperity preacher. That's why you're broke. So the areas that you don't tap into, that's the one he'll attack you in. But we're going to tap into it today, amen? I said we're going to tap into it today. They don't know that they're being attacked because of the yokes they're supposed to destroy. They're coming up under many type of attacks. Say many type of attacks. And his goal is to, watch this, kill your faith and kill your credibility. This why, brother, when we are walking in the plans of God, your character is important. You can't do anything. You believe you got a call on your life. They won't walk with integrity. So that moment is really trying to attack your future or your next. The people that are drawn to you, by the time you figure it out, they won't follow you because they don't understand. They don't understand this. I'm still being changed. I'm still working it out. I'm still on the potter's wheel. They don't understand all that. But they called to you. So while we're trying to figure it out, we don't let the devil destroy our credibility because it's an attack on where God is taking you. You don't let him destroy your witness, Sister Baker, because those people, the same people who are critical of you now, are the same one God sent you to deliver. The same people that are laughing at you and telling you that you are not. Is there any good thing to come out of Nazareth? Just say, I'm coming out of Nazareth. But if you buy into it, then we won't live like we are called to be. We'll live like the current situation. And faith calls us to what? Live like we're going there. Live like we're going to be that. Live like we're going to acquire that. Live like God has something on my future. And I will not be swallowed up, drowned, or killed by the devil before I get my next. Say, I'm not going to be drowned. I'm not going to be killed. I'm not going to be swallowed up before I get my next. I know the plans I think towards you. I know the plans and the things that I have towards your life, God says. But let's look at this thing. So the enemy's trying to shame some people into silence. He wants you to doubt yourself so you'll shut your mouth. He wants you to let go of your confession of faith. Why? Because Hebrews 3, I believe it is, 3:1 talks about Jesus is the apostle and high priest of what you're saying about yourself. So the minute that you stop believing in you, it ain't that God stopped believing in you, but he knows he's going to be restricted in what he can do for you because you don't believe in yourself no more. You don't believe that God can work through cracked and broken and maimed and dirty vessels. No, he'll clean it up. He'll put you back on the potter's wheel. He'll patch you up. He'll put you in a position where he can use you. But when you stop believing in yourself, you don't stop God, but you stop his ability to work through you. Say, work through me, Jesus, 3 times. So you got to believe. He'll try to silence you. Now, why is silence important? Because we talk about what we believe. Watch this, or what we assume. We talk about what we believe and what we assume. Out the abundance of your heart. So what you saying, I don't care. People say, I'm just playing. They believe that. They believe that. The core of who they is believes that. That's why they talk like that. People say, oh, I'm just playing with you. They say something critical across to you. And they say, oh, I'm just playing. No. They believe that. And somehow they're trying to get it in you. They're trying to get that in you so you will believe it. See, an unyielded vessel to God is an occupied vessel of the devil. So they'll be saying things to you. And they'll be talking about, I'm just playing, I'm just joking. No, the devil is, they're not yielded to God. They're unoccupied by God. And they're yielding to the devil, and they're speaking that over your life. And what the devil wants is the same thing God wants you to do. He wants you, the devil wants you to parrot what he say, and God wants you to parrot what he say. The Holy Spirit says the same thing that God says in heaven to you. And he wants you to say what God is saying. The written word, parent, what the word in heaven is saying. And he wants you to say the same thing that he said. But when you don't say it, you're yielding to the enemy. And you can't just play it off by saying, I'm just playing. No, words are spiritual containers. And when you fill them up with the wrong thing and you release them, they have creative ability attached to them. Ask your neighbor, say, what are you saying about yourself? They are containers, and they once they filled, meaning that once you get to a level in your faith, whatever, negative or positive, once you fill that container up, that's the max of what you believe, negative or positive. And you know what happens? Do you know what happens? It manifests. But we're not going to let negative manifest in our life. I said we're not going to let it manifest in our church. We're not going to speak it over our children. We're not going to call them fools and stupid and you ain't going to be nothing and you ain't going to, you just like your daddy. No, even if his daddy was a bad man, you find the good qualities in him and you prophesy that over them. Because he's closer to that negative if you believe it and get him to believe it based off where they come from. So we have to be careful. Say, be careful of what you're doing. When a person is shamed to silence, though, let me go back there. They have this tendency to not want to walk by faith. They don't want to walk by faith. Go to 1 Corinthians 16, and 9. They don't want to talk like that. They don't want to release it over themselves. And he'll try to condemn us or make us feel guilty. I know a preacher that maybe, this is what I say, you have to, sometimes you don't ignore what people are saying to you early in life if it's positive, even if you don't see it. Because sometimes they discern it or letting them see farther than where you at. And it's your life. Now, why would that happen? One, they in a spiritual place. Two, they may be finna exit this place. And three, they just trying to make sure that you hear it if you've never heard it. So you know what to protect. Follow me. They're trying to make sure you hear it if you haven't heard it before they die. They have to make it plain to people. So you'll see your grandma or your granddad, and most of us carry words over our lives that they spoke about us when we were children. That boy is going to be preacher. That girl is a intercessor. She a prayer warrior. That boy that you calling disobedient, I hope they ain't on video games over there. That boy that you calling disobedient really has leadership on him. They're going to guide the world. And because God has this on their life, their kickback ain't necessarily always personal and about you. It's trying to help them figure out how to maneuver life. Be an independent thinker. They have to be able to seek God, you know, move and shake and move like we talk about. But when we don't understand that, we have these words spoken over our lives that they got to get out of them before they die. Because you spend more time with them than you do your mama. They raising you. So they'll put it out over you when you unaware of it and don't know it, but you have to protect it. Everybody say protect it, because it's unlocking something on your life. So you can look at people right now. They under these attacks in their life, attacks on their marriage, and then lo and behold, they bump into the right person, and they say, y'all are called to heal marriages. And they laugh it off, because they say, we fighting like cats and dogs. But they call, because they can't see beyond the conflict. I'm preaching this real good. They can't see beyond the conflict in the house. Right? You call to be a provider to the church. You're going to ensure that many people do not suffer financially. And they say, I ain't got two nickels to rub together. What? They can't see beyond the poverty. So God has to tell somebody who cannot see in the spirit what the spirit is saying to them. What am I saying to you? You're called to heal marriages. That's why you fight. You called to bless people economically. That's why he's trying to trap you into poverty. You actually deny the fact that God has shown you the ability of you laying your hands on people and they be healed. And you say, I'm sick as a dog. Yeah, because he's trying to get you to test it out on yourself first. Say, test it out on yourself first. But they seeing beyond what you can see. And they speaking you into your now. And what should you do? You should receive it. Tell somebody, you should receive it. So Paul is talking about, how do we get there? The devil would try to close you out and block you out, restrict you from moving to get you out of faith. He'll try to block you out. Watch this, blind you out. Restrict you out, or get you to doubt, so that you don't move towards open doors. Tell somebody sitting beside you. Tell three people, the Lord say you deserving. Keep moving forward. Say, the Lord say you deserving. I know you made some mistake. Keep moving forward. The Lord says that you are deserving because he said you deserving. Not because you've been so great. You have been exactly how you thought you was, but God said, I made you deserving. If any man be in Christ, what, he is a new creation. Say, I'm deserving. Shout, I'm deserving. I know you think I'm disqualified. I know you don't want me to go no further. But the Lord say, you deserving. What should you do? You should receive that. What should you do? Walk towards the open door. It looks locked, but when you turn the knob, you'll see that it's open. But you have been staring at it saying, I don't deserve to be in this crowd. The Lord say you deserve to be in this crowd. The Lord say you're supposed to walk amongst them, that I'll take your gifts before great men in obscure places. The Lord say that I'll do great exploits through you, your children and your grandchildren, because you have served me and obeyed me. The Lord said it. What should you do? You should receive it. What should you do? You should receive it. See, if you're looking for perfection, you'll die without a lot of stuff, because you ain't going to never be perfect. You ain't going to never be where you think you should be. What should you do? Walk by faith and go for it right now. So watch this. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul was talking about God opening these doors. And he was really saying that many times you have to fight to get through it. You got to be willing to deal with the adversary. People are scared of devils. Let me say demons. Because you ain't on Jesus' level. The devil personally only visited a few people in the earth. Job. Jesus. Right? Amen. Personally, he's only visited a few people in the earth, but demons come in by the waves. They come by groves. But church people are afraid of demons because they've been Hollywood. They've been sensationalized. They watch too many movies. And in all the movies, they see all this destruction. It is demonic by nature. But he seems to be this opposing figure. So in their mind, they think this is the way he is, and maybe he is, but he still ain't a comparable adversary to Jesus. Maybe he is a terror, but he cannot overwhelm the God in you. Maybe he is bigger than you. He cannot overwhelm the God in you. Say, God is in me, the hope of glory. If you believe God is in you, no matter where you at, you got hope. You should have hope, meaning when the devil has done his worst against you, look for God to do his best for you. When the devil has done his worst to you, look for God to do his best for you. You in line for a breakthrough. And so you face the adversary. You don't run from the adversary. You don't make it seem bigger than what it is, because say, God is for me. So he says you got to fight through it. He says there's a wide door. There's this effectual for effective service has been opened to me. But he says, what does he say? It's many adversaries. What's the revelation? The revelation is that many times your open doors and your adversaries are standing at the same spot. Who you focused on? Your adversary and your open door in the same spot. Whoever has your attention, that's who you believe. That's who you believe is. And Jesus says, I am the door. You can go through him. Who you focused on in that moment? What are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? What can man do to you if God say, walk through the door? They're going to stand right there and watch you walk through it. I said, they're going to stand right there, and they might be mad, but they're going to watch you walk through it. And there's nothing they can do about it. Say, I'm going to go through door number one. That's Jesus. Say, I'm going to go through door number one. He only puts one door there. Watch this. God creates an opportunity, not options. God creates an opportunity, not options, because he don't want your focus divided. An unstable man is divided. A double-minded person is divided. They're focused on options. And he says, you need not think that I am going to do anything because you are divided. I don't create options. I create an opportunity. And when I am focused, and say focus in on Jesus, when you focus in on Jesus, Deacon Strange, you never miss it. You never let people pull you into contracts, and you know they're going to pull the house in a month anyway. I've given you 30, 60, 90 days of a whole bunch of nothing. Because in their mind, they had options. And when a person, I don't know what I'm telling with you, telling with you. When a person has options, they're not going to go through with you because they're divided. So they'll wind up wasting your time. The devil has wasted many of our times because he created options before you. He's wasting some of our times right now. I'm talking to some married people right now because he's making you feel like you got options. But if you're focused on Jesus, you will get to where God wants you to be. If you will focus on the Father, the option that he is telling you, it'll work every time. The job will work every time. You won't have to keep reapplying. Tell somebody, say, focus on Jesus. So he tells somebody this morning, you're in an open door season. Walk through it. I say, you're in an open door season. Walk through it. This is your open. Tell somebody, this is my open door season. Every barrier, God is holding it back right now. The lions are to your left. The devils are to your right. Don't worry about it. Just walk through the door. He's trying to silence some of you because he's trying to overturn what God is putting through. The lions are on the left. The demons are on the right. Focus on Jesus and walk straight through the door. Tell somebody, say, it's my open door season. Tell them, say, walk through boldly. Walk through with some expectation. Walk through that you will know that God gonna do it for you. Walk through knowing that it's gonna happen. Walk through knowing that God gonna heal. Walk through knowing your provision is there. Walk through knowing that your children can be saved. You can be saved.
And ain't nothing the devil can do about it. I say there's nothing the devil can do about it. So this is my open door season. Sit down, please. And you have to be determined to win. You got to be determined. Passivity won't stir you enough to move in the face of opposition. Passivity, a few weeks back, I was talking about violent faith. The kingdom what? Suffers violence, and the violent do what? They don't ask, they take it. What you doing with my stuff? What you doing with my wife? This is my wife. This is my husband. What are you doing over here? This is my child. What are you doing? No, I'm just gonna stand back there and I'm just gonna pray. I'm gonna leave it up to the Lord. You can't leave up to God what He left up to do. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violence do what? Take it by force. I know the doctor's report was negative. I'm gonna get up and do everything the doctor told me not to do, to trust my faith in God, to put some faith in God that I can bend over, that I will run again, that my mind won't be taken. I gotta put some faith out there so God can get involved. But I'll sit there. We'll sit there, passive. And know we need a breakthrough. And kindly talking to the devil, let my child go. No, let him go. No, he not going to listen to me. He got to listen to you. If you obeying God, you're not talking with your own authority. You're talking from the voice of God, with the voice of God. Tell your neighbor, say, speak up and stop being so. Say, speak up. The spirit can be moving in a church and they so passive, they won't even say amen. Amen. They won't even agree with it. That's all amen mean. So you preaching to people that can't say amen because they don't agree with what you're saying. They don't agree with God. I'm saying it internally. Oh, no. They don't believe in you. I'm not religious and might not be saved. Amen is, I agree. See, this is how you step into things, through agreement. If my wife wants to leave me, obviously you know she ain't in her right mind. That's number one. But so you start praying for the mind, you shout it out of the old soul, yama. Oh! Because she's not thinking right. But once you get past that, if the person gives us a word for healing, we must agree on it. If I agree and she agree, I don't have to sign. The court would grant it. If I want to stay and she wants to leave, the courts would grant it. Watch this. The courts of the world functions just like the courts of heaven do, through legal laws or principles that God honors himself. So, like, if God is speaking something over your life, Brother Vinny, and he's using me to speak it over your life, and you don't agree, it will not happen. You can stand here and prophesy over people. The right word. It never happens. Well, what would stop it? They don't agree it. They will not say, amen. It is so. So be it. Amen. It is so. So be it. So when I lock into that from heaven, I'm giving heaven permission to move now. Tell somebody, say, God says, it's your open door season. Or walk therein. Say God. Say, tell somebody else. Say God says, "It's your open door season. Walk therein." And as the under shepherd of this house, I render every attack of the enemy against you powerless right now. Everything that's been designed to steal from you, I render it powerless right now. Everything that's been designed to kill your future, I render it powerless right now. You're going to catch on fire again. The devil almost put your fire out, but the Lord is saying, fan into flames. He's saying, praise your way back to a place to where you catch on fire again. But everything the devil has done to you, I render it powerless, that you will be restored, that you will recover it all, that you will be in a place next year this time where you will remember this word almost to the exact day and praise God at another level because it is happening. Say, it is an open door season for me. I receive it. I come into agreement with it. Shout, it is so, three times. Amen. 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 Now watch this. Sit down. Who gonna do the restoring? Peter says, God himself gonna do it. Who gonna stop him? Who gonna stop him? If God said he's gonna do something for your life, who gonna stop him? What devil gonna stop him? The ones from my past? That's mental. That ain't spiritual. A lot of stuff that stopped us mentally ain't really spiritually. They don't get it. I'm gonna preach over here till they get it. A lot of things that they wrestling with, you're wrestling with, that you think is spiritual, ain't spiritual. It's mental. And this is why he say you can cast it down. Because the stuff you think is stopping you ain't real. The stuff that has stopped you ain't really even real. But what God says about you, that's what you come in agreement with, and the devil can't stop that. I say the devil can't stop that, brother. The devil can't stop a spirit word from God. So he works through, how do I know that it's just mental and it ain't real? If it was real, he wouldn't have to use deception. So he must get you to believe in something that's not real so you let go of things that are real. What the Lord has said about you is real. The Lord said, you the head, not the tail. You don't know where I'm at. You don't know where I'm living. The Lord say, you the head, not the tail, that you above only. I'm out here. The Lord say, you above, not beneath. People laugh at me. What did the Lord say? What word are you standing on for your life? Tell somebody else, the Lord got a word for you. It's your open door season. Say, walk therein. Say, the Lord got a word for you. I know you down right now. I know you don't feel good right now. I know you're broke right now. I know you're sick right now. Shout to him, say, walk through the door. Prophesy to him, say, walk through the door. Say, use some faith and just walk through the door. Use some faith and just praise the Lord. No matter how you feel, make yourself obey and reach out and touch heaven with the praise that magnifies him. That the Lord who sits high and looks low will reach down into the heavens and make things happen for you. Restore unto you. Bless you. Move in your life. Move in your family's life. Reach up and touch heaven until God reaches down and touch you. But the devil cannot stop you. I said the devil cannot stop you. He's lying to you. Hallelujah. Sit down real quick. So he says he'll try to stick us into suffering. Man, you know what's so interesting to me is that you can almost develop the wrong mentality in anything. And we get taught this. And we'll say, it's hard to get back up when you're down on your luck. Well, that's the problem. You're focusing on luck. We're trying to get you in the blessing. It's hard to recover. It is. It ain't supposed to be permanent, though. I'm not trying to minimize nothing nobody going through. If you've ever been in a place where you're suffering in your life, it'll seem like it ain't no end to it. And it's a week. Amen. No, that ain't talking about no 5 years and 10 years. I'm talking about a week. And you be thinking, ain't no end to this. I mean, how do I get up out of this situation? Amen. Anybody ever been there? And you can start doubting God and doubting yourself and doubting words from the Lord because you're saying, man, this seems like an eternity. Job lost everything. That story, the books make you feel like it's a long period. It was 11 months. In 11 months, the average person, probably even myself, would not, I'm just going to tell the truth, would not have survived that. Amen. The average person would not have survived that story. All your kids are killed. Your all of your property is destroyed or repossessed. Your business goes bankrupt. You have no life savings left. And then what you do have left, somebody sued you for that. I'm going to bring it to the now. Then your wife encourages you to turn your back on God. And because of it, God allows the devil to kill her. And then people that you was paying for, every time you went out, you took the bill. You took people on vacation with you. You paid for their college and caught them up on their house note. And you went to visit them when they were sick and when they were shut in. You gave them food. You did all these things for them. And then when you going through, they throw up in your face, you got to be in sin somehow. Somehow all of this is your fault. And rather than just sitting there and shutting up and being a good friend, they trying to psychoanalyze your situation and over-spiritualize the situation and tell you that it was all on you. And you say, I've done nothing but serve the Lord. I've done nothing but be a giver. I've done nothing but help people. I've done nothing but try to stay before the Lord. And here I am finding myself in this situation. And the average person would not even dare to go through that. And did I mention it was 11 months? You just finished grieving one child. And then two more die. And then the other ones are in the tornado. And the other five are on life support. And then they all die the same day. The average person could not tell me that they could survive that mentally. Emotionally, they could not deal with that. Financially, they would struggle to recover if they ever recovered, but God can recover them. And when Job came to himself, the Lord restored unto him everything in a matter of weeks. And not only did he give it all back, he gave it to him at a high level. He doubled it and gave it back to him. Why? Because the Lord was saying, you survived this deceptive attack of the enemy, telling you that it was all my fault, and you stuck with me the whole way. I'm not going to give you back what you lost. I'm going to give you everything that you ever thought you need in this life and the afterlife. Tell somebody, say, the Lord is getting ready to restore. The Lord prophesied to him. With some conviction, say, the Lord is getting ready to restore to you everything that you lost. If you lost your peace, you're going to get it back. If you lost your money, you're going to get it back. If you've lost your joy, you're going to get it back. If you've lost hope, you're going to get it back. If you need God, say, God is going to come through. But you're going to have to walk through him. Don't come out of God in this season. Don't take no breaks, even on vacation. Do not come out of him. Sit down. I'm almost. I done said that about five times. But I'm gonna stop for real this time. Maybe. Tell somebody, say, don't be denied your open door. Everything happened at one time. But let me give you this and then I'll get out of here for real. He said some of you have endured some moments. It was the consequence of your choice, and it brought some hardship. But this is what the Lord said. He said, but this battle is different. There are times, if you're an honest person in the spirit, you can look at things and say, I did not earn this. Just like you can look at some battles and say, I'm reaping this because I sold that. Amen. But the Lord say, what you looking at, you didn't sow towards that. This battle is different for you. You should resist it. The Lord say, this is different for you in comparison to hardship that you sold into. The Lord is saying, for some of you, this is different. Spiritually, you are to resist this with all your might. Spiritually, you do not let people try to convince you into, watch this, because you can offer the wrong thing, into some repentance offering when really you should really just be giving God a praise offering. Because you did nothing, some of us didn't do anything to earn this. So I give him the praise offering because God will inhabit the praises of his people and he'll stand up in the midst of my praises because I'm trying to maintain my sanity right now. Amen to this. I'm trying to just hold on with everything that I got. And at least if I can sense God, I know I'm going to be all right. See, the presence of God that rests on you, he will not rest on really an unclean vessel. But when that vessel is pure, tangibly, God will sit on you. Tangibly, when you start praising God, God will remind you that I'm in this thing with you. I am the fourth man in your fire. You, all you did was deny the devil. All you did was refuse to serve the devil, and that's why he put you in the fire. All you did was refuse to bend to rules and regulations that causes you to defame your God, and that's why he brought this on you. And God said, I'm standing with you in this fire. Say, come on, Jesus. I am standing with you. And when they look again, it's just going to be like with the Hebrew boys. They're not going to see three, they're going to see four. God is going to stand up in there with you. But he said, you are to resist this. You are to come back at the devil. This pressure, this attack, and you know it has been different. It's felt different. Who am I talking to up in here? This has felt different to you. Other times, you know, you can almost say, I own that. I own this. But this you couldn't own. Why? Because this was the enemy's. Say, the devil did this three times. The devil did this. The devil did this. And he after something that you don't know maybe. He's after something you don't know about you. He's after what's on the other side of the door. The things you cannot see that'll change your life. The things that we sometimes see can change it, but there are things that God has planned for your life that you can't even see till you open the door. But you don't, the door look like a barrier. I'm talking to people who got barriers up right now. Every way you turn, it look like you boxed in. Feel for the door. Are you following what I'm saying? Last night I was in the garage. I wasn't familiar, but and all the lights went off, and I was on the backside locking the garage, but I knew where the door was at. I knew where the door was at, but the car was there, and something else I knew was down there, so I'm trying to maneuver and not trip. And then I got to a place where I was able to touch the wall, and I knew the door was to my right. And I just traced the wall to the door and then guided my hand to find the doorknob and twist it. When you cannot see, put your hand and just follow the Holy Spirit's lead till you get to the door and then turn and go in. But you got to make a move, and you got to make some moves right now. Say, make your move right now. You have to, don't stop because it's dark. Don't give up because you can't see. Feel your way. If I can just feel his presence, if I can just sense he's in the room. You ever had somebody standing behind you and you didn't see them come in, but you didn't hear them come in, but you can feel them behind you. Ask your neighbor, can you feel the Lord behind you? The Lord is right behind you. The Lord is telling you, just keep moving to the right. Keep moving to the right. Keep moving to the right. The door is right over here. You don't have to see it. Trust me. It's there. Trust me. It's there. Trust the Lord. Tell somebody it's over there. Trust the Lord. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand praise. We got to get out of here. We got to do communion. Give him a good praise all over the place. Everybody, lift up your voice. Get the Lord to stand up right where you at. Your season has shifted. Your season has shifted. You've been applauding everybody else. Now it's time for people to see what God's going to do for you. And if they don't applaud with you, praise God all by yourself. Praise God. Like, God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I've been waiting on this moment. God, I give you glory. God, I magnify you. Somebody ought to praise the Lord up in this place. That ain't everybody. That ain't everybody. That ain't everybody. Somebody ought to give the Lord a good praise. No, the Lord is trying to do it for you. He's going to do it for you. Hallelujah. He's going to do it for you. Give three people a high five around you. Say, it's already done. Say, I set myself in agreement with heaven and with you. It's already done. It's already done. Whose report will you believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Who report are you going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. I agree. I set myself in agreement with the word. Hallelujah. 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 You got to get it back there because we ain't doing no altar call today. Hallelujah. Praise God until your sense you got it. Praise God until you can see the light just a little bit. Praise God until you can sense him standing up on your behalf, making his way towards you. No, he is running towards you. The Lord is making his way to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now for your written word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for strengthening and pouring out in this place on today. We give you all the glory and honor today, God. We thank you that your word holds true, that those who seek you would find you, those who knock the door would be open. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives right now, God. We thank you that the next 6 months will be a shifting period, that it'll move us out of lack into abundance, out of sickness unto healing, out of depression, God, into an encouraging heart. We thank you right now, God, for moving in our hearts. We thank you for the anointing being released on your people, that as they would teach and preach the oracles of God, that they would unlock the hearts of men. We thank you right now, God, for recovery and restitution of all things that the enemy has taken from your people, God, and we thank you for it coming quickly in the name of Jesus. We resist the enemy. We resist the reports of the enemy, and we stand clearly and firmly on your word, God. The can-do God, we know that you cannot lie, but that you can do all things, God. We receive it right now, Holy Spirit, and we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our finances, in our bodies, in our marriages. We consider it to be done, God. We set ourselves in agreement. We set ourselves in agreement that it is so. That it is so. The Lord said that it is so. It is so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It is 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 so. Don't wait for nobody else. Praise them all by yourself. It is so. Let the redeemed of the Lord, if you believe that you are, say so. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord, Vinny. Praise the Lord, Vinny. Praise the Lord, Vinny. Praise the Lord, Vinny. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord gonna do it. The Lord is gonna do it. It's already done. The Lord is gonna do it. That's how it's gonna be done. He ain't failed you all this time. You think back over some of your lives in your darkest days. Over your life, the Lord has always come to see about you every single time. Now watch this. In sin or out of sin, he still came to. Why? He watches over his word that he's spoken over your life before your beginning began. So when you're in mess, he's still watching over his word. He has never failed you. And shout, and the Lord ain't gonna fail me now. Do you believe that? I believe you believe it. I believe there's some people that believe that. The Lord not gonna fail you now. He cannot fail. He cannot lie.